There is nothing wrong with your internet. Do not attempt to adjust your settings. We are controlling the podcast. We control the squealing and the screams. We can make your heart flutter, your eyes blur from tears, or sharpen your mind to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit back. We are in control of what you hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your setting. You are about to experience the awe and mystery known as the female mind. You are now entering the fangirl zone.
Welcome to the Mudhorn Clan cast on the Fangirl Zone. I am Sean Fangirl-S.
I'm Sith Lord Steve.
And I'm Beskar Dave, and I'm still not wearing my shirt. Today, we're talking the Acolyte title, Revenge/Justice. More duality. Episode 2 of Season 1, written by Jason McAuliffe, Carmine Charmine DeGreat, and Jasmine Flournoy, and directed by Leslie Headland.
I feel like all this season, we're going to have the duality of titles.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
I'm just wondering what they're going to be now, because we don't get any of those in advance. It kind of sucks. But anyway, All right, hold on to your seats, because here we go with our recap for this week. An assassin strikes again, but this time the Jedis are there to attempt capture. Dun, dun, dun!
Attempt is the key word here. All right, initial reaction, Dave?
Okay, my boxing gloves on.
Uh-oh.
It's better. This is better. We'll get to our ratings later. I rated this one a little higher, but I still have an issue with force sensitivity. It just bothers me that sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I mean, which one is it? Is it the twin thing or the force thing or what? But when we go through the recap, I'll tell you some of the problems I had with the force, including something that's a little funny, I think.
John?
I enjoyed it to bring the story forward to answer a little bit more questions. Still more questions remain, and I am just looking forward to what's going to happen. But there were a couple moments where I'm like, really? I did enjoy it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. We actually got to see a little more action in this episode than the first episode, so that was a plus, even though it didn't work out for the good guys this time.
I feel like that happens more often than not.
Yep.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Well, we're going to open on the planet Olega. See, it's an easier planet for me this time. At the Jedi Temple outpost there, which looked like it was some little, like, shop.
Isn't Olega something you spread on your toast?
That's a butter alternative, yeah. A little girl throws a ball at the sensor droid out front. Good lord. And Dave brought this up last episode. It's like, really? That's how we have anything at the Jedi Temple? It's like, why even have anything closed? Just leave the door open at this point.
Seriously.
She follows May's orders by annoying the sensor droid, and May is able to disable the droid and pays the girl before she goes in. Again, why is the droid being irritated? Like, are they giving them emotions? What's happening? I'm confused.
I think that's like their default programming to be nasty.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Snarkiness at its best.
Yeah, almost all the droids for the Empire are snarky and...
You'd think it would be like a Jedi-like droid. How can I help you, my daughter?
Right? Something. But May ends up leaking in through the hallways, avoiding other Jedis, blending in with civilians. Were those civilians? Because she's just walking past like, okay, nobody sees me. And if you're all Force-sensitive, why don't you know she's got bad intentions?
Yep.
That's what kind of got me. But whatever. Okay, fine. Moving on. But she finds a floating, meditating Jedi named Master Tobin, which I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. They did the, like, platform thing, so more practical. It was kind of cool looking, though.
Yep.
But she uses the same lead that she used with Andara, trying to get Tobin to attack her. It's like, fight me with all you have. Again, what? Girl, he ain't even looking at you. What are you talking about? He's in his own little Jedi mind.
Yep.
But Tobin doesn't attack and continues to meditate. May attacks him repeatedly, which this was a bit amusing because
yes,
the force is all around Tobin and it's a barrier. She can't get through, fist, knives, nothing. And can I just say, the only thing that came to mind for me was Dune, and it was more like old Dune. Like, oh, you can't get through with force. go through slowly with the knife. That's what I was thinking was going to happen, which would have been just, that would have been bad though. But anyway, suddenly other Jedis are aware of a break-in, but how? One guy literally was just walking down. He's like, oh, did I hear something? But she ends up parkouring her way out an open, like, skylight. What the heck is going on? Like, this moment was a lot of the, what? Really? For me. I'm just throwing that out there.
Did she bounce off his protective force field? I don't think so.
I think she did.
Yeah, that's good. I wish, like in, what was the old movie from the 50s that was redone? Well, you know, on the Martian ships, you could see the dome when something hit it, like a nuclear explosion.
Oh,
yeah.
And I was kind of hoping we'd see the dome, too, when she touched it. But no, I guess you can't do that with the force.
Yeah, all I wanted her to say is, like, parkour.
Yeah, and you see a guy above filming it all.
So back on the snowy planet of Karlak, we pick up with May's twin sister, Osha, who is in the custody of her ex-Jedi Master Saul, his current Padawan, Jeki Lan, and her once friend, Jedi Knight, Yord Vandar. Jeki is struggling with some ship controls, so Osha offers advice. The controls work for Jeki, and the two women begin to talk. She introduces Jeki to her little pocket droid, Pip 2. Saul passes through, making them both fall silent. Yord meets Saul in the hallway and protests that they're not restraining Osha, who has escaped custody before. Yord mentions that even if this so-called twin theory was true, what if Osha works with May? Saul calls out Yord's fear, which is affecting his judgment on the matter. Saul calls in to Jedi Master Ernestra Rowe, who is overseeing the investigation of Inara's death and sent Saul's team on a mission in Episode 1. He tells her of May and the theory that she's the culprit. Finally, Vernestra believes him because someone matching Osha's description broke into a Jedi temple the previous night, and Osha was with Saul during this time.
Thank goodness they didn't string that along.
But can I ask again, like you mentioned in the first episode, why does she not want like people to know what's going on? No, we have to have a whole council of people here to talk about it. We're not going to just... like, oh, we have a twin that's loose that's trying to do bad things.
You mean Vernestra, right?
Yes.
I wonder if she was responsible for deleting May from the...
Ooh.
I wonder why, though. I mean, they all thought she was dead, unless Vernestra knows otherwise. What?
Yeah. Because, yeah, Sol says he saw her die.
Yeah. So what, they erase her from a database? I don't think so.
No.
Did they mess with his memories?
Whoa. I think Saul would sense that, but who knows? So, but Ernestra gives Saul permission to investigate the break-in and take Osha with him. Yord is against Osha coming with them to Olega, where they spread butter on toast. Osha brings up she knows Torben just as she knew Indara. Saul shuts down Yord's concern, pulling a bit of rank on him. Yord strikes me as a bit of a rookie still, even though he's a grad.
Yes.
With that, they set course for Olega. Back on the planet, May moves through the streets until she comes to the shop owned by Kamir, who is sleeping in the back of the shop. And I recognize this guy, too. Who is that? Oh, The Good Place. So funny. He's got a knack for comedy. She throws... You guys watch The Good Place?
I did not, but I keep seeing so much of it on TikTok. Like, it's making me want to watch it.
Oh, good. Cup at him. He questions his clothes, and turns out this place is not exactly his shop. He took the clothes and the shop from the owner to blend in. I can blend in if somebody's missing. Kamisha knows she was trying to kill a Jedi the night before. She's frustrated, thinking the Jedi is impenetrable. So, she wants him to make her a poison. Apparently, May is on some sort of timer to get these kills done. She needs to kill Torben fast. Kamira pokes fun that she will never be able to kill the Wookiee Jedi next. She only has two more Jedi left to kill after Torben to please her master.
And they keep just hinting at, like, oh, he doesn't want you to do this. He doesn't want you to do that. What is it?
Hmm.
What's up?
Tangential hierarchy reference to who's leading who.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Acolyte, Padawans, blah, blah.
Well, he is making them both a drink, waxing poetic that the so-called peace that the Jedi stand for is a lie. He brews his concoction, making her a poison in the process. And pretty slick, like he's pouring the drinks and just bam, 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 here it is. Like, wow, okay. Obviously, you know your field, sir. Apothecary at its finest. Before she leaves, May tells Kamir not to tell him about this transaction. Back with the Jedi, Saul asks Osha about her tattoo that she got one night with her crew, which I swear to God, looking at it, I'm like, is that like an Attack on Titan? What is happening here? Crossing genres for real. But she jokes that he hates it, and he quips back that it doesn't matter what he likes. Hey, is he trying to be kind of father figure? It's like, not up to me. It's what you like. I don't have to like anything. They discuss May possibly being the killer, even though they both apparently saw May die 16 years ago. And we know that Osha left the Jedi's, 6 years ago?
Yep.
So she was 10 years trained. And I'm trying to figure out, like, her age. Like, I'm trying to gauge all of it. I'm like, hey, where are we? But Saul admits that he had wanted to save both girls, but could only rescue Osha that night. Her family died. But why?
Yeah.
Sure. What was there more? Was somebody else supposed to be getting her? I need more pieces to that puzzle. But he has made peace with what happened that night. Okay. I feel like saying that to the girl whose whole family died. It's like, yeah, I made peace with it. It's like, what? Like, maybe not the best choice of words. I'm just throwing that out. But Osha has not made peace with that night and still carries the trauma and grief. You think? Somehow I don't think the Jedi exactly have a counselor program where they can talk through things. No, push it down. Let it go. I'm going to slap somebody and I'm not even part of this. Saul admits he might not have been a very good teacher. Wow, okay. Their ship is approaching Alega and swoops into land in the town. They head to the Jedi Temple where they're greeted by another Temple Jedi, which reminded me very much of, I don't know, kind of a comedic thing. Like, okay, I'm going to show you what's happening. And I don't know how they got in, but we didn't see anything. But I don't know. That was kind of irritating me too, because again, you guys are all supposed to know what.
Back to your initial point, when you're making drinks, waxing poetic, the so-called peace that Jedi stand for. So what happened? This kind of reminds me of the cover-up, possible cover-up, the Brunestra knows of and the deletion of May from a file. I don't know if we missed something. Are we going to learn something? That there's something wrong with the Jedi Order?
I mean, we learn in the episode 2 of the Star Wars movies that they had started losing power and not being able to do everything as well. So are we going back to this point where it starts falling off? Like, that's why I'm like, what is happening? You guys are trying to hide stuff, and that doesn't seem very good.
I don't remember correctly. In the Old Republic, I think, I don't know, the Jedi gave birth to the Republic, but in the High Republic, they weren't part of the government at all. So what were they? They were like sheriffs, I guess.
That's why I'm like, we need information for those of us that don't know anything about the book or the games. But anyway, while they're finishing their story about what happened last night, May returns with Torben, slipping in through the ceiling. Again, nobody closed the skylight, okay? But by the way, Torben, the guy who plays Torben, which he still looks like a kid, but Dean Charles Chapman played Tommen in the Game of Thrones series. So I couldn't figure out why he looked kind of familiar, but like they made him look much older and the weird eye and scar and why he had a five head instead of four head, but whatever.
Yeah, he was in 1917 too.
May asks if Torben remembers her. He took the Barash vow, an oath taken by Jedi who completely refrained from all activities related to the Jedi Order as form of penance, disengaging from anything but the Force itself, committing themselves to gaining the ultimate communion with it. Well, shout out to Wikipedia there.
I was going to say shout out to Steve for finding that. I had no idea what was going on. I just thought, okay, he's just going to meditate forever. So good job, both of you.
He shows why he took the vow 10 years ago to escape his past. She gives him an ultimatum. Torben can confess his crime to the Jedi Council or drink the poison to receive forgiveness. Torben opens his eyes and slowly drops to the ground. He says he's been waiting for May all this time. Saul wants to speak to Torben, and the Jedi welcome them to the temple. While moving through the hallways, Osha sees a vision of young May. She dashes off to follow while Yord watches her go. Back with May, Torben asks for forgiveness, saying he thought they were doing the right thing. With that, he willingly takes the poison. Through the Force, Saul senses the disturbance and he sprints ahead.
What the right thing was.
I was like, this is what got me. It's like, okay, what did he do? Are we ever going to find out? And why did May end up, or not May, I'm sorry, Osha, following her vision of May, end up finding the shortcut to Tormund? Why did they not take that to get to him? It's like, no, let's walk really slow because nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, she followed a vision of her younger sister again. So there's that connection, but I don't know if she's still alive. Well, you do now, but still, should have known. And one last thing, through the Force, Saul senses the disturbance. He sprints ahead. This happened more than once, but he looks the wrong way. When he senses something, he looks over one shoulder and then runs the other way. I'm like, did it echo? Asha has beaten them, though, finding the poison bottle, and Tormund is dead. May is gone. The ceiling is also open. It's always open. They don't put a droid up there. Everyone else rushes in, which looks really bad for her. Asha, finding her over a dead body. Thankfully, Yord quickly clears her as he followed her through the back way. Yay, Yord. The group analyzes Torvin's body, realizing there was no struggle. Torvin killed himself. Osha also recognizes the poison, that it's made from a leaf that grows on her home planet. The Jedi scope up a nearby apothecary, and the local Jedi do not recognize Kamir. Yord wants to make this elaborate plan to capture Kamir, bring him back to the ship, and question him. It's like he went through a binder and checked off. This is what we should do. Jackie, on the other hand, says we should just use Osha. If this guy's sold to May and their twins, Osha can just walk right in and talk to the guy while the Jedi record it. And also get them a confession that May is the culprit. So I wrote in my notes, smarter than Yord.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Like, the more that I'm seeing Yord kind of look so put off that, like, oh, I'm a Jedi Knight and I should be able to tell you what to do. And that's just a Padawan. It's like, I'm starting to wonder now, just because what you brought up in episode one about the Acolyte, what if it's Yord?
No.
What if it turns on us?
Well, I think we're going to learn more about Yord in the future episodes, but and maybe it has something to do with his disposition. I don't see how or why, but, you know, that's the 21st century me, and they're not they're in a galaxy far away, a long time ago.
Well, they decide to move on with this plan, and Pip's recording under Osha's cloak because, you know, she stopped at the shop to get her some kind of cloak to look more May-ish. But Kamir does call her by May's name and brings up the poison, so all right, he at least knows, and the disguise worked. Kamir notes how strange Asha is acting and brings up the mysterious him again. With all the info they need, the Jedi move out to extract Asha, and this is a good move because Kamir realizes that the woman before him is not May. And he's all like, oh, you look so much like her. I thought something really bad was going to happen really fast. I'm like, well, again, the Jedi rush in and surround him. And Kamir quickly tries to bluff his way out of this. Saul brings up the master he, the mysterious
he.
Yes, and that they heard over the comm and wants to know if that's May's master. Kamir faints that he has no idea what's happening. I'm just a supplier. Yay. As he's like, don't mind white me. He admits that she wants revenge on four specific Jedi. Man, he crumbled fast. May will be returning tonight because Kamir has some of her things. So, yeah. I'll help you out. Man, like, is this mysterious he going to come after you? Because I feel like that's probably not the good thing, dude. And so the Jedi decide to move out and prepare for May's arrival.
That was one of the funniest lines, too, right in the tail end of that scene where Saul asks him, is he with you? And Albert, who is he? And he looks at Yord and goes, well, I thought he was with you.
That night, everyone is in position. The plan is to let Saul confront May alone. However, Asha wants to see her sister, not for a sweet reunion, but because May killed their family. Asha is still angry at that. Saul tries to guide her to let her grief go, but Asha wants her justice. Saul calls it revenge. He couldn't save May as a child. He wants to try to save her now. With that, he begins to leave. Asha stops him and notes that May wants to kill four Jedi who were stationed on her home planet 16 years ago. Four Jedi were Indara, Torben, and another named Kelneka, and Saul. Saul is the target. He tells her to have faith in May and in him. So, Jedi. With that, he leaves to face the young assassin. Yord spots May coming towards Kamir's shop. Jakey readies the ship. Plan is in motion as Saul calls out May's name. She attacks him and the two begin to brawl. Well, I wouldn't call it that. Saul was way too fast for her. She couldn't even get a hit on him.
Yeah, he didn't need a force bubble.
No.
Oh my gosh, the fight choreography was amazing here.
Yes, it was. With each pass, he slowly disarms her of her knives and keeps her out of reach of his lifesaver.
That was way cool.
Yes, it was. He wants to know who trained her. During the battle, everyone else listens in on the comm.
So Saul pins May with the force, another floating body. I'm set the third one, I think. Yep. He sees in her mind that her master hides his identity so much that even May doesn't know the mysterious master is or what he looks like. Do we know? Have we seen? I mean, like Sean said, have we seen this person? Do we know about this person? Are we going to learn?
Maybe not yet. Yeah. But
no, not yet. Could be a big reveal. I don't know. She breaks free from his hold, pulling another knife out. Of course, she's like got a million of May reveals, and she thinks Osha is dead. When Saul says that Osha is very much alive, May calls him a liar and attacks him in a rage. Really, you can't sense your sister? She's been sensing you.
Yeah.
And she's like 50 feet away or something. Yeah,
I know. That's what the force is for. But Yord interferes, ripping the knife from her hand, which was kind of cool. He confirms that Osha is alive. The Jedi surround May, and Saul offers his hand to May. Throwing her hands down with the force, she kicks up the dirt around to mask her escape. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Another distraction, like dirt. It reminded me of, we also had a fire problem, and they seem to have a fire problem working to rescue May or the family back when her family died. They couldn't see through the fire. In an episode of Obi-Wan Kenobi show, Obi-Wan was separated from Darth Vader by fire. I'm like, walk through it, dude. You can't sit your Darth Vader. I'll jump over it. Can't believe, what is it with fire?
They forget that they have like that force jump half the time.
Good grief. Or I guess, or a force, you know, sensitivity. You can't see through fire. So, okay, there, I'm done. May flees into the night. Asha hears this over the comms and heads out to find her sister. Whilst trying to steal a speeder from a civilian, May stops when Asha comes out of the alley, pointing a tighter speeder by getting hit with it, pointing a blaster at her twin. May looks in shock to see her sister, she thought was dead, calling out her nickname, Oshi. Osha hesitates, missing her chance to stun her sister. May flees in the speeder, getting away. As Saul, yes, I know, I feel your pain. As Saul and Yord arrive on the scene.
Pod Dog obviously had very strong feelings on that. Yeah, because I'm like, really? Okay, is it the whole blaster thing? Or because stormtroopers really suck with blasters too, apparently? Or is it...
Yeah, and Osha missed two or three times.
Right. Yeah. Or is it like, I'm so overwhelmed with emotion that I can't do this. What?
Shoot the speeder.
Yeah, she wasn't even close, like, a couple times. Back on the Jedi ship, Saul is bickering with Vernestra about what to do next. Vernestra and the Jedi Council want to have a meaningful discussion. What? Are we going to ground somebody? What's happening here? Yeah. Saul knows May is gunning for the Jedi Kalneka. They know her next target, so don't hesitate. We need to warn. Oh, nope. Vernestra is going to cut that transmission. It's like, deuces, we're going to go talk. Bye. What?
Cover up.
It's like, yeah, at this point, I'm like, all right, she knows something. And she's like, no, it's fine. But the next day, Kamir watches the Jedi at the local temple, who are watching him in turn. And May springs out to attack him. And he's like, I know you're angry. I sold you out. But we could get out of here, and I know how to get us out. And I just happen to know where the Wookiee is. Yes, Wookiee Jedi Master Kalneka. Okay, this should be interesting, because we've seen a little baby Wookiee Jedi in one of the animated ones, so we get to see one on screen now. You end up fleeing the streets because the Jedi get easily distracted talking to each other. Again, WTF, friends, WTF. The episode ends on Kofar, where two travelers find Kalneka's home because it's a downed ship, and they're like, oh, we could probably scavenge something, but the Wookiee scares them off. Now, what I want to know, and I know somebody somewhere has translated it, what did it say on that sign? Because those people did not know what it was said, but somebody I know translated it. I want to know what it says.
No admittance.
Yeah, stay
beware of dog. I'm standing behind you. I like how he snapped that rifle in half, too. Same actor that's been playing all the Wookiees lately, too.
Oh, is
even
it?
Even in the movies. Yeah. What's his name? I'm going to find it. Jonas Sumatsutomo. I'll just call him Jonas. So, in closing on Sean's part right there, I still sense, you know, cover up. If the four, okay, those four were sent to a planet. We don't know why, right?
Right.
They screwed it up? Maybe, yeah. But it was made to start a fire? Why?
Well, yeah. Torben said he thought they were doing the right thing.
Yeah. Who was there that they were possibly looking for? Was it someone drawing May to the dark side?
Could be.
A pretty young age. I don't know.
Ooh, yeah.
Somebody who felt their power and wanted to use their
Yeah. And maybe it wasn't the Acolyte. Maybe it was the Master for the Acolyte back then. I don't know. Just throwing stuff against the force field wall.
See if anything sticks.
Okay, well, we can wrap it up then. And we wrap it up with ratings. Out of 5, of course. Let's see what Sean has first.
Okay, so because there were so many of those really moments, I gave it a 3 out of 5. But I wanted to do more because, like I said, that fight choreography was amazing. And I loved, like, with Saul and May. Not so much with May and a force field, but I'm going to go with 3 out of 5.
Okay, Steve?
I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 Wookiee Jedi Masters.
Is he shirtless too?
Well, he was. I mean, he wasn't doing anything.
Okay, and to close out, I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 5 Blake Bortles. And that's for all your... You get that one, Steve?
Yes.
Good.
Please review and rate us on iTunes and any other platform you use for your podcast. With good ratings and reviews, it helps other fans of the show find us, as there are plenty of other Acolyte podcasts out there. Tell your friends, and we hope you're enjoying our podcast. And don't forget to check out the other great Fangirl Zone podcasts.
You can find all the ways to get a hold of us at www.fangirlzone.com, because we want to hear all your theories. I want to know what that said. Or you can just find us on all social medias as Fangirl Zone. And I'm excited to know what's happening coming up and to get the story of Cover Up, really what's going to happen. So for this episode of Acolyte on the Mudhorn Clan Cast,
I'm Sith Lord Steve. She could hardly be in your custody and committing another crime at the same time.
I'm Sean Fangirl S, and I don't know, maybe I would be able to shoot the stun gun more straight. I don't know. Like, this just seems like a bad idea anyway. Just use the force. Come on.
She can't. She can't even get a Pippa to react to the force. And this is Beskar Day, and thanks to the preview, I mean the force, I sense the return of Carrie Ann Moss. But I only see her in her Trinity outfit. Is that wrong?